So we're in the third week of a series that I'm calling Heart Conditions. This is our third week. Yep, third week of that. We are together looking at different conditions, different irregularities in our hearts that might take us away from being the people that God has called us to be. Like medical heart conditions, as many of us have kind of gone through that or known someone who has gone through something like that. Heart conditions are very, very serious. Even the slightest irregularity can cause lifelong problems and should be taken very, very seriously. Heart conditions, if left untreated, will take you away from God entirely. So we want to know how to diagnose ourselves, how to be aware of these different conditions, so that when these things start creeping up in our lives, we know what they are and how to treat them. So we're looking at heart conditions. Today we're looking at the condition of greed. Last week we looked at pride. Pride is a very invasive, sinful nature that we often have, whether we know it or not. I said last week that pride is like bad breath, in that you don't necessarily know that you have it, but the person in front of you that is looking at you and experiencing your life from their perspective knows very much that you didn't brush your teeth and had garlic and onions and mushrooms for breakfast. Pride is very invasive. Today we're going to look at greed. Greed has a lot of that same nature, where maybe you don't see it in you, but others do. Before we open the Word of God, let's pray together quickly. God, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the things that we can learn from it. Help us to understand and properly apply your Word to our lives so that we can be the people that you've called us to be. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We're studying this morning out of the book of Luke. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Luke chapter 12. We're going to go to chapter 12, verses 13 through 15. It's here on the screen in the Christian Standard Bible version. Those Bibles are kind of scattered throughout. I'm going to read it for us. If you're there, please follow along. It says, "Someone from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.' 'Friend,' he said to him, 'who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?' He then told them, 'Watch out and be on guard against all greed, because one's life is not in the abundance of his possessions.' Then he told them a parable. A rich man's land was very productive. He thought to himself, 'What should I do, since I don't have anywhere to store my crops? I will do this,' he said. 'I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones and store all my grain and goods there. Then I'll say to myself, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' That is how it is with the one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Good. We're talking about greed this morning. We're talking about greed. If we were to look at greed, I think there should be a definition that you can pull up, Marla. The dictionary says that greed is an intense or selfish desire for something, especially wealth, power, or food. What's greed? Greed can be translated as covetousness. It's easier to say greed, right? Some of your Bibles will say covetousness. Some of them will say the love of money. In fact, the word greed, the word for greed in Greek, is translated different ways in different places in the Bible. Here it's in the CSB, it's translated greed, and that makes it easier for us. Stephen Cole, a retired pastor from Arizona, said it like this. He said, "Greed is the insatiable desire to have more money or possessions for self-gratification while ignoring God and eternity." That's a spiritual definition of greed. It's the desire, the insatiable desire, the desire that you can't quench for possessions, for stuff, for self-gratification while ignoring God and eternity. We live in an age of self-gratification. We live in a time of taking care of me. We live in a time not only of taking care of me, but of taking care of me now or in 2 days. Because you got Prime. It's coming in 2 days, right? We live in a time of Walmart pickup. We live in a time of have it right now. We live in a time of everything I want, I need now. We live in a time of greed. Greed is the desire for more and more and more. Like pride that we talked about last week, this issue is dealt with throughout Scripture. It is all over the place. We could study it in the Old Testament. We can study it in the New Testament. It's found in many of the Gospels. It's found in the Epistles. God cares about this issue a lot. We're studying it out of Luke. We could take it out of Colossians. We could take it out of Ephesians. We could take it from any book of the Bible. And yet, at the same time, it's kind of a difficult issue to tackle. It's a difficult issue to tackle because, as it might be easy to see how greed is affecting someone else, it's not as easy to see how it affects you. We can look at a guy like Jeff Bezos. I watched a video about Jeff Bezos. He's like 57 years old. He's the founder of Amazon, and he has more money than anyone rightly should ever in the history of ever, and he just keeps making more and more and more of it. It talked about some of the outlandish things that he has in his possession. The guy just decided the other day he was going to be an astronaut, sent himself to space and came back down and said, now I'm an astronaut. He can do whatever he wants. He has the money to do all of the things. Combined, the wealthiest people in the world could end world hunger, and instead they buy other stuff because they have so much money. It's easy to look at a guy like that or to look at a guy like Bill Gates who has all of the other money in the world that Jeff Bezos doesn't have and say, yeah, that guy, he's greedy. He has so much. It's easy to see it in those guys. It's easy to see greed in your neighbor who's always getting new things. It's significantly more difficult to see greed in yourself. As our hearts turn away from the Lord and his provision, to focus just a little more on our own comfort. I just need just a little more. That's what we want to look at today. Not our neighbor's problem with greed, but our own. And so I'm going to talk about mine. And I hope that you can, in mind, see your own and find the problems with it. We want to see how to identify the heart condition and also how to treat it. We want to be able to diagnose ourselves. If we were to look at greed in ourselves, we would say that greed is when money consumes our time, our thoughts, and our power. Questions we can ask ourselves in those situations, when we look at greed, or we try to ask ourselves, am I greedy? We might say, I want more. Why do I want more? Because there's always a desire for more, right? We always have a desire, well, if I do this to my yard, then I could do this. If I do this, if I spend just a little bit here, guys, I have a spreadsheet on my computer that tells me exactly how my bills are going to go and what money I can spend on my own self and what money I need to do other things with. And my bank account is set up to where it gives me a number every day that says, this is safe to spend. It says, Adam, you can go out and blow this money on whatever you want to. It's not accounted for anything else right now. I bank online. It's a really nice feature. But it kind of contributes to this nature. When we're talking about greed in ourselves, attempting to diagnose greed, we might ask ourselves, what right now am I willing to compromise for more? You might say, hey, I'm not a greedy person. I'm not greedy at all. But I did fudge a little bit on that time card. Just a little. I did show up to work a little bit late. I got that 7-minute window. They don't care. It's in the policy. I get to show up late. I get to clock out early. What are we willing to compromise? Are we willing to lie for money? Are we willing to cheat for money? Maybe not outright. I'm not willing to cheat Ron, but maybe Walmart. I'm not willing to cheat Mark, but the people across the street, I don't know them. What are we willing to compromise for more money? When attempting to diagnose ourselves, we might look at, what is the focus of my spending? What is the focus of my spending? I've got that safe to spend amount. What am I spending that on? What do I do with my fund money? Question we should ask ourselves is, who do we credit for our provision? Who do we say, hey, this is what I have and this is how I have it? Whose money is it really? I've been looking at a new truck for the last week because my last one was destroyed. Many of you know that. It was taken from me. I wasn't done using it yet. And so now I have this desire for a new truck. And I'm going to give you this message. And 3 weeks from now, you may see me pull up in a new truck because we're trying to work all these things out. But as I've been looking through this, I've been looking at getting something new. And God has really convicted me on a lot of things in this search for a new truck. Because I've been looking online and there are a lot of really, really nice trucks out there. And I have an idea of what I want. Let me describe it for you. Because I have it. It has to have 6 seats. It's one of the most important things because I got 6 people in my family. And sometimes we want to take the truck on the trip. Right, wherever we're going, whether it's camping or just we need to go to Walmart and get something that's too big to fit in the van or whatever the situation is, my truck needs to have 6 seats. Ella can sit up front in the middle, 3 younger girls in the back. We need to have 6 seats. That's the first thing. Dodge Ram has these boxes that are built into the back of the truck bed, into the sides. They're called Ram boxes. Just a little toolbox made of plastic, but it's built in, so you're not adding an additional box to the top of your truck or, in some way getting some other aftermarket modification. I really want those. For not any other reason other than having a toolbox in the back, it's kind of hard to get into, and it'd just be comfortable. Have that little Ram box that locks with your truck and, fancy. It needs to have at least a 5.7 liter Hemi because that's what my old truck had. And I don't want to go down to a 6-cylinder. Why should I? Why should I? I want to be able to drive fast if I need to. I want to be able to pull stuff and push stuff. I want to be able to do truck things that I've always done with my truck. So it's got to have a 5.7. Or, whatever the Ford or Chevy or whatever else equivalent of that is. Because power. I want it to be four-wheel drive because the 6 blocks that I have to drive between my house and work and between my house and church, sometimes that 6 blocks gets really sketchy. It's like, you know it snows. And sometimes that 6 blocks is just too much. I gotta put it in 4. Sometimes. I want it to have Bluetooth radio and a backup camera. I don't care what color it is. See, I'm gracious in that, right? I don't care what color it is. I'm probably not yellow. But like any other color would be good. Any other color you guys want to buy me, I've described a truck, church. Pastor Appreciation Month is coming up in October. My birthday is October 21st. Anybody wants to? No, I'm just kidding. So I've been looking at all of these things. Because on the internet, if you start shopping for a vehicle, I don't know if you guys have done that recently, but you can just to the letter tune out exactly what you're looking for. You could say, I want this. It needs to have this stereo. It needs to have these tires. It needs to have this engine. It needs to have this transmission. You can build that thing out as detailed as you want. And that is a trap for greed. Because every option is, oh, that's just $2,000. That's just $3,000. That's just $1,500. Just $37 to have a sunroof instead of a moonroof. I don't know what the difference of those two things is. Somebody will explain it to me after church because that's what they'll get out of this message. So I've been online and I found these things and done the things and gotten the price and seen the shock and thought, I think we could do that. I mean, that's only this many dollars a month. I think we could do that. Eden's going to work. Eden's starting a new job. She started a couple weeks ago. Why shouldn't we spend that money on a truck? I've always had a truck. Always. Why can't we take Eden's new salary or hourly wage, whatever it is she's getting paid? I don't know all the details. And we'll just put that towards Adam's truck. Sounds like a great idea, doesn't it? Loretta likes it.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. My wife is on board. She does not care. My wife does not care. And again, you may see me after I've wrestled with this situation for a few more weeks. You may see me drive up in a truck. And please do not feel like I have not wrestled with this situation significantly between now and then. If it's got RAM boxes, know that I found a really good deal because I won't buy it otherwise. But then comes the conviction. Why do I need those things? Adam Johnson, you walk 6 blocks to work. It takes you like 7 minutes to get to work. 7 minutes. You know how much faster driving to work gets me to work? It only cuts that time in half. So I'm getting there in 3 minutes instead of 7. 3 minutes instead of 7. I really need a truck, guys. And then more logic flows in. Hey, I work for a construction company. In our fleet, we have like 35 trucks. And we issue trucks to everybody that wants one, needs one, has to drive one. I've been told many times by many people, hey, you can borrow this, you can have that. And yet I find myself, I need a truck. Right now there's a CCS truck parked in front of my house. Why do I need those things? What is my rationalization for those things? Does God need me to have that? The answer is a resounding no. The answer is a resounding no. But it makes me find myself questioning, what kind of status am I looking for? What am I looking for in that? What am I trying to keep up with? What does God need me to have? A greed-filled heart says that I'm the provider in my home and I should have what I want. A greed-filled heart says it's just a little lie for a little bit of money. A greed-filled heart says I need to be more and more and more and more comfortable. I need to have those things. A greed-filled heart is a lot like one filled with pride. Says I need the brands and the labels. I need the special attention. And I can give you all the reasons why. I could stand up here and explain to you the reason that I should have those built-in toolboxes. I've convinced myself. And Robert has told me that I don't need them. That there are other solutions. The solutions that he has in his truck would be sufficient. But the built-in ones are nice. Guys, I've rationalized it with myself. Pride says, I need the brands, I need the labels, I need to be just a little more comfortable. Why should I not have a 12-inch television in the front of my new pickup? It's only a $2,500 option, guys. It's just a little bit more to have the aluminum alloy rims instead of the chrome painted ones. I told you this morning that I would share with you my greed and the things that I've seen in myself. And this was not like a planned scenario where I said, okay, we're gonna preach on heart conditions and then someone will steal my truck and I'll have to look for a new truck and I'll have this scenario. I'm just sharing with you, like, this is my life. This is what's going on in our world. Maybe you don't jive with that. You're not looking for a new vehicle. You already bought one, or you found one that was really cheap, and maybe you don't struggle with greed at all. But Jesus knew that we would struggle with greed often enough that he talked about it. The Apostle Paul wrote about it often. It is entirely invasive in this scripture. King Solomon dealt with it. We read Ecclesiastes from up here a few weeks ago. It talks about greed a lot. Well, it explains the downfalls of it. He doesn't outright call himself greedy, but he says, I had all the things, and it was not worth anything. A greed-filled heart sets you up for failure. A greed-filled heart separates you from the Lord. Greed is almost always listed in Scripture when sins are counted out. And in those lists, we find the seriousness of the problem. In Mark chapter 7, verse 21 and 22, it says, "For from within, out of people's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immoralities, thefts, murders, adulteries, greed, evil actions, deceit, self-indulgence, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness." Out of your heart comes greed. A lot of other things. This morning we're talking about greed. We've already talked about pride. Jesus was speaking and he said, from in here comes the desire to lie, cheat, and steal for yourself. To steward for your own good. From the very beginning, we are created to steward the earth and the things that we're given. From the beginning, we were created to take care of God's earth, his place, his stuff. First Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10 says, "Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom? Do not be deceived. No sexually immoral people, idolaters, adulterers, or males who have sex with males, no thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbally abusive people, or swindlers will inherit God's kingdom." This is the second list of sins that mentions greed at the heart, that mentions that the desire to gather for yourself more and more and more and more separates you from God. He says, don't you know the unrighteous people have no place there? We convince ourselves it's okay. He says, do not be deceived. We might think we're getting away with it. That's the thing. We think, hey, I've put in my 10%. Got my 10% check? It's in there. And now, since 25% is bills, 10% goes to the church. Now I've got 75% to me. Now I can take all that other money. That math doesn't equate, if anybody's counting. But it does if you take that 10% and you say, put that back. I won't give to the church this week. I'll do it next week, and then we'll be able to, and then we'll have the... We think we get away with it. We say, hey, I got all this money in my pocket. You know what I really need? You know what I really need? I need a truck. I got all this extra money. I said I'd use my story. That way I don't embarrass anybody else. I'm not calling out anyone else's greed. This is my problem. But if we were to look at our own lives and we were to say, okay, I'm going through this list of questions. Who is my provider? Is it CCS? Does CCS give me my money? Is it Casey's? Is it Roquette? Is it St. Louis Gear? Is it J.G. Wentworth? No. Thanks, Ryan. No. I wasn't answering that question.
I was like, dang.
Who's my provider? Especially for men in the household, I think it's really easy for us to pride up a little bit and say, I worked really hard for all this that we've got. And I'm going to have something nice out of that. I'm not saying it's wrong to have creature comforts because there are some that we need. Right? We exchange money. Money is not evil. We exchange money for everything that we have. To do anything, even as a church, to have these lights on, you have to have money. Money in itself is not evil. Greed is evil. Greed is evil. The desire to store it up for yourself. And we think we've got it all figured out. And we start asking those questions. What do I need that for? Why do I want more? Who gets the glory from that purchase? What does it accomplish? The reality is, we like nice things. I like nice things. I don't like buying junk things. I don't like spending my money on, or God's money on, anything. It sucks. Very careful about what I buy. But at what point do I need it? I'm a master at convincing myself of my need for stuff. I'm really, really good at it. I need a Milwaukee framing nailer right now. I need it. Because I do a lot of framing. You guys know I do a lot of framing, right? But they just came out with a new one. It's really nice. And it's only like $500. And I could get that. I could put away for that for a little while. And then when Mark's building his next bathroom, he could use my nailer. Right? Guys, what I've been really looking at is a 10-inch compound miter saw. Battery powered. See, I like battery powered tools because you don't have to pay for the extension cord and roll everything out and do all the things. I like just being able to show up and slap the battery in. You're good to go anywhere. I gotta have a compound miter saw. I'm really good at rationalizing those things because then I could do more projects with lumber at the price that it is. I don't own either of those tools, but if you look in the front room up there, I own plenty. I got enough. The men's bathroom is scattered with red and black stuff that belongs to your pastor because at some point along the way I've rationalized. Greed is storing up for yourself money and things for your own glory. Without considering God or eternity. Once we know how to identify it and we see it in our lives, we have to be able to treat it or it will kill us. First thing to do, as Jesus says in this story, in verse 15, Luke chapter 12, verse 15, he then told them, watch out and be on guard against, because one's life is not an abundance of his possessions. Be on guard against greed. Watch for it. Be on guard against it. We have to be looking at our lives like I've done before you right now. And as I've prepared for this message, looked at often myself and said, does this fall into that category? And listen, there's no cut or dry answer necessarily. These are things that we have to take before the Lord. And sometimes we can rationalize it. We can say, hey, I needed that. To be on guard against means that we're constantly watching for this kind of mindset to creep in. That, hey, I deserve that because I want it. To be on guard against means that we're looking for it in our decisions. That we're taking the things that because we make decisions really, really fast. We know that, right? At some point you decided, hey, I'm going to buy this pair of shoes. I'm going to buy this watch. I'm going to buy this shirt. I'm going to buy whatever. I'm going to buy this podium. Because cafe table, whatever it is. And then we rationalize. Being on guard against it means we're looking at our decisions and we're saying, why am I deciding that? What is my heart? Where is my heart in this? Why do I need that? I've considered several times buying a new guitar because Robert and Ron have nice guitars. I got a guitar in my office and I always think, man, I want to learn guitar and be fun. And you know what? I should buy like the nicest guitar I could possibly afford. And I rationalize that in my mind. And then I think about it and think, Adam Johnson, you do not know how to play guitar. And you've tried to learn to play guitar before, and it has never worked out. Not because I don't have the talent or the ability, but because I always get frustrated and put it down and never pick it up again. That's why there's one sitting in my office. We have to be looking at our decisions, judging ourselves to make sure that we're falling in step with stewarding. Because that's the opposite of greed. To be stewarding our stuff, our money, our time, our power for the glory of God. We have to be on guard for it. Colossians 3:5, I think, gives us the next step. It says, therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature. Here's another list of sins. It says, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, which all kind of fall in the same thing, right? And greed, which is idolatry. Two very important things here to note. First, the Bible is defining greed, which we know what greed is. It gives a meaning to greed, and it says greed is idolatry. That is putting something else in the place of God in your life. Greed is idolatry. Therefore, put it to death. Paul tells us in his letter to the Colossians that we have to put greed to death. Dealing with greed is a lot like plucking your eyebrows. Anybody here ever pluck their eyebrows? Nobody raise your hands. Pluck your eyebrows, you got to get really close to the mirror. You can't pluck it like from here to there. It doesn't work. You got to get really close and pull really hard Because there's some pain involved. It's going to be uncomfortable to deal with greed. We've got to be aware that there are people that are going to lead us into that. First, we have to be on guard. We're looking for it. Anything we find, we've got to kill. And then we start preparing ourselves. Hey, there are going to be people that lead us into greed. First of all, we're going to look at the people around us. Ryan's got some really slick tan pants on. All I got is gray ones. I should buy some tan pants. Robert's got a nice truck, nice guitar. I should really buy a nice truck. Have you seen Robert's new truck? It's really nice. That's what I need. A long bed, plenty of seating. Just about exactly. It doesn't have a built-in toolbox. It's out. It's out. It's out. There are people that are going to lead us to that. We have to be careful. And be aware of false teachers. The reality is there are going to be people that use the word of God, use the name of God, and promote greed. They're going to talk about how you need more, that you deserve more, that you should have increase, that you are son of a king, daughter of a king. You deserve all of the. To protect ourselves against that, we have to read the word and know that God is not in what they're saying. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. In 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter's talking about false teachers and he's giving a list of characteristics of them. And he says, they have eyes full of adultery that never stop looking for sin. They seduce unstable people and have hearts trained in greed. They have hearts trained in greed. There was a story a while back about a preacher who had said Jesus would not fly commercial. Jesus, if he were walking the earth today, that he would have his own private jet. This guy was trying to rationalize why he had a private jet and why millions of dollars was spent on a ministry having a private jet. Guys, you can't rationalize that. It don't work. We have to read the Bible for ourselves and know that God is not in what they're saying. We have to be aware that there are going to be false teachers. And we have to work in ourselves to cultivate a heart that is content and giving. Because that's what a steward does. We're called to be stewards of what God has given us. We have to be content with what God has given us. If we go back to that original passage in Luke, Jesus is telling the story of a very rich man. It's a parable that this person didn't necessarily exist. There wasn't a person that he could name. It was Mark Reinig who wanted to build a bigger garage. So he could. It's not saying that. He's telling a story. Said, then he told him a parable. A rich man's land was very productive. A rich man's land. He had enough already. Otherwise, the Lord wouldn't have designated him as rich. And his land was very productive. He had a really, really good year. And so what did he do? He thought to himself, what should I do? I don't have anywhere to store my crops. What in that moment could that guy have done? Well, I've got these barns. I've got so much in abundance. This is a rich man. He already has enough. And now he has abundance. What would God have had him do in that moment? In my head, I'm thinking, hey, you could have just fed like everybody for a while. You could have said, I got my barn. It's full. I filled it now. I got mine. But the Lord has given me so much in abundance. Now what? Time for free dinners for a while. or free whatever. Whatever I can do to bless people. Or maybe I go down the street to my neighbor who's dying and his wife is going to be on her own for a while and I fill his barn up. Maybe I'm not taking care of everybody. Maybe nobody even knows this transaction happened. Just me and my cart going down there filling up his barn so that she's taken care of for a while. This man clearly had enough. And the man with a heart full of greed, because that's what Jesus was talking about, said, I'll tear down my barns. My barns aren't big enough. I can't store all this. No problem. I'll tear mine down and build bigger ones. I'm going to build bigger barns. I've gone too long. And children are escaping from class. And I'll store my grain there. I'll put my goods in another barn. I'll buy more property. I'll have more stuff. It's no big deal. I've got abundance. And then I'll have an easy life. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life is demanded of you. And the things that you've prepared, whose will they be? Remember back to the book of Ecclesiastes. As we read through, and Solomon said, I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and it was for nothing because the generation that comes after me will destroy it. They won't even enjoy it the way that I did. We have to cultivate in ourselves a heart that is content in giving so that that story cannot be identified with Adam Johnson. Because he had a little bit extra and he said, now you got a little bit extra. Because Adam Johnson had an ability and he said, now you got some ability. Because I took what God gave me and I said, God, what do you want me to do with this? There are going to be times that God says, hey, take care of yourself. Prepare for what's coming next. You're going to need this. You should probably get a more reliable vehicle, dummy. That's why I've been giving you extra for so long. You were supposed to get that figured out already. Instead, you bought an old international truck and parked it for 2 years. I'm still talking about myself. We have to cultivate a heart that is content in giving. We set our sight upon the Lord and put our hope in Him so that we are rich in the kingdom of God the way that Jesus tells us to be right here. He says, hey, you got two options. You can either be like this guy or you can forsake your worldly possessions. How many times did Jesus tell people, you can't have stuff on earth? And yet we live life, hey, I got to collect stuff on earth. He said, the Son of Man doesn't even have a bed. And we're like, man, I really need that sleep number. It's only $4,000. I need it articulating. I need it to be able to sit me up so I can watch my evening programs. I want to be able to watch Fox News from bed at a comfortable height, and I want my feet to be able to raise up too. I got bad circulation, guys. Jesus told people to sell all their things and follow Him, and they said, sorry, I can't. And he said something about a rich man and a needle and a camel. He said, see? See what I'm saying? Rich people can't get it. Ecclesiastes 5:10-11 says, the one who loves silver is never satisfied with silver. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with income. This too is futile. When good things increase, the ones who consume them multiply. What then is the profit to the owner except to gaze upon them with his eyes? We have to figure out along the way, with prayer and discernment, how much is too much. We've got to figure that out. We've got to take our stuff, our possessions, our income before the Lord and say, God, what do you want me to do? How much is too much? Because there's no hard and fast answer. I can't tell you, hey, you should be making $35,000 a year and the rest goes to the church. Because it only takes $35,000 a year to survive. Ross over here has 85 children in his household. That does not work. You can't field or feed that many people with $35,000. It does not work. It doesn't work. I can't say, hey, you should only have one piece of furniture in your living room. How are you going to entertain and host and do the things that God has called you to do in your life? I would not ask for Dan and Jennifer Wynn, who are not here, to have a smaller house than they have because they host people all the time. They need the yard that they have. I cannot tell you what is enough. We have to take those things before the Lord and say, God, what do you want? What is your desire here? How do I glorify you with what I have? We have to ask some questions and ponder some things and take some things before the Lord. How much is too much? How much can and should we focus on our comfort? Because there is some level of comfortability. God talks about providing for us all the time. How can we be against how can we guard against greed? It's a question we have to ask. What do I have to do to protect myself? Is all luxury wrong? Is it? God, what is acceptable in your eyes for me to have as I attempt to steward what you have given me? Should I be buying new shoes or should I be going to Walmart and buying those shoes? Should I be shopping at the Goodwill more often, or the Salvation Army, or wherever it is that has the best deals these days? The Chromes are all about the Goodwill. They tell us all the time. That's where we buy the stuff. Johnson kids this morning or yesterday, they went to a place called Goodwill Bins, where you buy Goodwill stuff by the pound instead of by the item. Talk to Sherry. It's a thing. How do we guard against greed? Is all luxury wrong? Those are questions I cannot answer for you. I can't stand up here and say, hey, I got it all figured out. This is what greed looks like. And Ron, you should sell your car. And Kathy Dye should invite everybody over to her house. And I can't do it. This is something that we have to discern for ourselves and go before the Lord and submit and say, God, everything that I have is yours. But I would petition you this morning to cultivate that kind of a heart in yourself, because your heart is a liar. Your heart is very easily swayed to pride and greed and more. Amen? Good? The kids are all running amok. If you have children, you'll need to gather them quickly. Let's pray and we'll dismiss. God, this morning I used my own story, I used my situation, but I know that each one of us deal with this issue. That's why you wrote about it in your word. That's why you bring it up so often, even to small little churches like us and the church in Colossus and Colossae, whatever. God, I know that it's an important issue. Lord, help us to be your stewards, to steward our finances and the mysteries of God, that people would look at us and see humble, contrite people that love their God and serve you with everything that we have. Lord, help us to acknowledge that everything that we have is yours. God, at the same time, I ask for blessings on these people. I ask for provision. I ask for health. I ask for wonderful things in their homes. I ask for peace, God. Help us to give you glory throughout this week. We thank you for all of those things. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful week. Deal with some greed in your life if you've got some, or deal with greed in my life if you don't. You can wrestle with me about whether or not I should have that truck. I shouldn't, but we'll see. And be blessed. Have a wonderful